People around the world are increasingly asking this question: what in the world is going on? Tornadoes, floods, and earthquakes are overshadowed by governments at war with their own citizens, whether by bullet or judicial activism. Nations around the world are bracing for what is being viewed as the run-up to World War III, as the Russian and Chinese military rush into the vacuum created by the ineptitude of President Barack Hussein Obama's alleged foreign policy. These truly are the days of chaos. The larger question looms: are these the days that precede the coming of the Son of Man, Yeshua, Jesus Christ? Stay tuned for my conversation with L.A. Marzulli next in the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule: I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, friends. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Soaring Eagle Radio Show. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or Stitcher. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, you can go to the website www.soaringeagleradio.com. And listen to all the episodes there. My guest tonight is L.A. Marzulli, who is an author, researcher, and filmmaker. His books, On the Trail of the Nephilim and film series on DVD, The Watchers, have expanded the discussion of the supernatural realm into the mainline churches. For this reason alone, we owe L.A. a hearty thank you. His latest book and the springboard for our conversation today is Days of Chaos. Welcome to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show, L.A.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Your latest book is a home run, in my opinion, and not the least reason of which is that it draws people's attention to the truth that what we see in the world today should not surprise Christians who know their Bible. It's resources like this that help people make sense out of world events. And when we talk about chaos, L.A., a lot of people... That's a foreign concept, foreign idea, but chaos is foretold in the Bible, isn't it?
Well, I think it is. I think that when we read what's going to happen, certainly in the tribulation, which I don't believe that we'll be here for, but that's another three-hour conversation. but that is the most chaotic period in the history of the world. In fact, Yeshua Jesus mentions... It tells us that unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. Yes. That probably is the most telling and sobering of all passages that I can think of in Scripture. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. What is coming upon this planet is unprecedented. And we know from the biblical prophetic narrative, specifically pointing to the book of Revelation, that when the fallen one, HaSatan, Satan, is kicked out of heaven, I call it the great eviction notice, because that's exactly what it is. He's finally booted out of the second heaven. He can no longer flit between dimensions. He no longer has access to the second heaven, which is where he's been kind of holed up for who knows how many millennia. But the passage in Scripture tells us that woe to the inhabitants of earth, because your adversary, the devil, Satan, the dragon, has been cast down to earth, and he's really ticked off, I'm paraphrasing.
Yes.
And he knows his time is short. You know, now people can do whatever that, take that scripture and run with it however they want to run with it. Yeah. I just find it incredibly alarming, and its future. It certainly has not happened yet, although I think we're leading up to that time. And what I mean by that is that Yeshua warns us. He gives us a laundry list. And it's always good to recall or try to recall the setting in which these words were first spoken. Now, we don't know exactly the exact geographic location outside the Temple Mount someplace. I mean, in Jerusalem, we don't know. More than likely someplace in Jerusalem. But be that as it may, the absurdity of those words are, in my opinion, through the roof. Because when he's asked by his disciples, and Chuck Messler calls this a confidential briefing, because it really is a confidential yeah. briefing, yeah. and bully for Chuck.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is they ask him, hey, what's going to be the signs of the end of the age? Okay, that's a legitimate question. So they figure that this whoever this Yeshua guy is, you know, they've been traveling with him for a while, so they know he's a little different than, you know, what they're expecting. And later on when he finally... When he asks, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you're the Messiah, you know, the son of the Most High God. But at that time, and this is what I'm trying to get or hit home with this, that at that time, there is no Christian church. There is no Pope. There are no stained glass windows. There are no monks with funny haircuts running around or nuns or nunneries or convents or any of this stuff. It's all later. Nothing exists. There is no New Testament. There is Doodly Squad. All he's got is the Tanakh. The temple in Jerusalem is still standing, obviously. And that's it. No one knows who he is. There is no PR firm, which, oh, there's the Messiah. Let's get some good PR now and get it right on CNN and do, you know, start them at the get a book out, you know, the Days of My Father or whatever, you know, being silly here. But you know what I mean? There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And he says something which is really ridiculous when given at face value. He says, many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah. Don't believe them. What? And deceive many. Do not be deceived. Many will come in my name. It's like, wait a minute. And you have to look at his... Look at that statement and just kind of wonder, what are the disciples, you know, thinking at this point? What are the apostles who are kind of looking at each other like, who does this guy? I mean, I know he's done some stuff and I've seen it and it's kind of weird. I'm not sure who he is. He's a prophet, I guess. I mean, Moses did some stuff too. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what we're looking at. We think he's from God. That's why we're hanging out with this guy. But wait, back up here. What do you mean? Don't be deceived. Many will come saying in my name. What? I mean, it's really a bizarre statement, and it's really filled with hubris, unless, of course, he is who he said he was.
Yes.
And he said he was the Son of the Most High God. He was the Mashiach, the Messiah. We know from John that he was with God in the beginning, and that all things were made through him, and that nothing that was made was made without him, period. Mm-hmm. And he backs it up over and over and over again through the 3+ years of his ministry, healing the sick, raising the dead, calming the storms, casting out demons. I mean, he's in control of everything on planet Earth, all the elements, the demonic nature. I mean, everything. He is in total control. When he heals the lepers without even touching them, one of my favorite stories, and without even touching them, he heals them from a distance on the cellular molecular level. How the heck is that possible? When he sees through time, just casually talking to one of his disciples, and it's Chuck, once again, Missler, talks about arranging the transportation to Jerusalem to be hailed as the king, which hails back to the Daniel prophetic passage, which talks about from the time that the decree goes out to rebuild the temple to Messiah comes, there'll be 490 years. And of course, as Chuck would say, he's orchestrating it at this moment. He's orchestrating his coming into Jerusalem being hailed as a king. And he says something, and you know, you gotta look at this. There's no humor in the Bible. Are you kidding me? And he says to his disciples, he goes, hey, go in. You know, go into town here, go into Jerusalem, and when you get in, you'll see a colt that's never been ridden. Go in and untie the colt, and when the guy comes out, the owner comes out and goes, hey, where are you guys going with the colt? Just tell them the master has need of it. And when we read this stuff and we just kind of turn the page, you go, oh, that's pretty far out. Let's put it in context in modernity. Mm-hmm. It'd be like, you know, if the Messiah was alive today, he's saying, okay, here's what you're going to do. Pastor. You're going to go down to the 7-Eleven here. You're going to, when you get to the parking lot, you'll see a brand new Lexus, okay? The keys will be in it. The Myrtle will be running. The window will be down. Get into the Lexus, and when the guy comes running out of the store saying, hey, where are you guys going with my brand new Lexus? Just tell them the master has need of it. I mean, that's exactly. That's how crazy it is. I mean, it's completely bonkers. But they go in, and of course they do all this stuff. So what's interesting about all this is he is the Messiah, was the Messiah, is the Messiah, always will be. I believe his return is imminent. But then he, in that same passage, he gives a laundry list. You know, many will come in my name. Don't be deceived. Many will come in my name. And then he says, wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. Mm-hmm. Men faint for fear from what's coming upon the earth. It'll be like the days of Noah. Similarly, you know, they, who is the they, were given and taken in marriage. And that's why it's so important for us to understand the Genesis 6 narrative. Because when we get to Matthew 24 or Luke 21, Mark 13, we're clueless. We have no idea what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. But he hails back to Genesis 6, which should be a red flag. And, of course, he just assumes that everyone knows what he's talking about. Today, a couple thousand years later, very few people know what he's actually talking about. And they just assume that's just, you know, men and women marrying and giving in marriage. It's not what he's talking about. That's why Genesis 6 is so important. He's talking about the fallen angels coming down, having sex with the women and creating this hybrid being known as the Nephilim. Mm-hmm. And he's pointing to that period of time that will herald his return. And that's been the basis of many of our watchers. It's certainly... I talk about this in many of my books. It was the basis of a Nephilim trilogy. Yeah. It's the basis of On the Trail of a Nephilim 1 and 2. I touch on it in great detail. I'd say I talk about it in great detail, not touch on it. Talk about it in great detail in the Cosmic Chess Match, and that's really one of the key points of that entire book. And, of course, in the newest book, Days of Chaos, there's a whole three chapters on the whole UFO phenomenon and what that's doing and how it ties back into the ancient biblical prophecies. So I realize it's a very long, involved answer, but the bottom line is everything that Yeshua tells us is now manifesting. Yeah. Wars and rumors of wars, check. Famines, check. Earthquakes in diverse places, check, 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 check. Added to that is the volcanic activity, the rise of lawlessness. Yes. We've got the UFO phenomenon, which is real burgeoning and not going away, as I'm fond of saying. Mm-hmm. We've got the global rise of anti-Semitism, something that we haven't seen in who knows how long. We've got perhaps the coming financial collapse. Mm-hmm. We've got the ongoing Fukushima disaster, mm-hmm. which will not go away. And of course, wars and rumors of wars. Here we are.
Yeah. And that's a perfect encouragement to our listeners, L.A., to keep their eyes in and on the Bible, continue to study what Christ had to say and what the prophets had to say, what the apostles had to say about these end times. One reason we need to do that, other than the fact, obviously, that believers are encouraged to be in the Word and know what it says, to memorize it, take it to heart, to live by it. But another reason that we need to do that is because we can't really trust the media in America. And I say that with sadness because I remember a day when the media really was a watchdog, so to speak. But the media in America today has become a lapdog to really the progressive, leftist, socialist, God-hating people in America, and really what they do, and feel free to disagree if you do, L.A., but what they really do today is they spin everything so that it fits the narrative that they want Americans to see and believe, and the narrative couldn't be further from the truth.
And I certainly agree. The media no longer does what it was designed to do, was to inform the citizenry of what the government was up to. Now it's basically in the tank with the government. Has become very much left-wing leaning in its ideology. It's amazing how they give things like, or incidents like Benghazi a pass.
Yes.
Where our ambassador is brutally, brutally tortured with a cattle prod to his genital for hours and then raped. He's sodomized by other men. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't show pictures of that. They'll just show the bombed out embassy, and then Obama spins it. The entire administration, shame on them. They spin it and trying to blame it on this ridiculous movie that's some filmmaker, some wannabe, you know, filmmaker in I mean, you want to talk made in Los Angeles area, basically. And this guy is arrested and then released about a year later or 6 months later when they realize it was absolutely it's a classic wag the dog. It's a classic wag the dog deal.
Yeah.
And they manage Benghazi and everybody skips along. And now, you know, Hillary Clinton, because all this happened on Hillary's watch, is running for president. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Where's the outrage in the citizenry? And it's just not there.
Yeah. Yeah, and we could name many examples. Benghazi is one. The Muslim invasion of Europe, and I call it an invasion because I think that's exactly what it is. Now the media is spinning it as a refugee situation, but I think we know better, don't we?
Well, what's happening is what the Gates of Vienna stopped, and what Charles Martel stopped at the Battle of Tours, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, is all being eradicated. And you've got clowns like Merkel standing up and welcoming these people. It is changing and will change the entire cultural fabric of the European continent. And what is happening is there is Europe is becoming Islamized. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
This will change everything. There's a quote from a woman in Indonesia, and she says about the Muslims who have immigrated to her neck of the woods, they are like vipers in our laps. And there's a clip that I'm going to post on my blog tomorrow showing a hidden camera, this Muslimo, a female woman, a female Muslim, with the full burqa gear. And you remember that men and women are segregated in the Grand Mosque in the UK. The women are upstairs, only the men can go downstairs. So it's amazing. Where are the feminists when you need them? Oh, they're making sure that we abort as many babies as possible and yell and scream about women's rights. But female genital mutilation, they're awfully quiet about that.
Awfully quiet.
Honor killings, not a peep out of them, not
right.
a peep.
Right.
Makes you wonder. And the hidden camera on this Muslima, as she goes in, and someone asked the question, what happens when a Muslim converts? And the teacher, and I've seen... When I was with the guru, I've seen this same religious spirit. I've seen it in the so-called holy men of India, the Mahatmas. This, it's an arrogance, is what it is. They're puffed up, because they've reached the position of teacher or whatever, and they're just so arrogant. They know nothing. They're not redeemed. There is no spirit of a living God within them. There's another spirit that's there, and so his teacher, this woman who was teaching the other women upstairs in the Grand Mosque in the UK just says, matter of factly, we killed them. Just like that, we killed them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no equivocation. There's no attempt to soften the blow, no pun intended. Just an out-and-out statement, we killed them. This is what's going on.
Yeah.
And you know, our media is not doing the job. And so it's got to come from the grassroots.
Yes.
And the fact that there are mosques springing up all over this country where 150 years ago or 50 years ago it didn't exist, the fact that we have honor killings in this country, the fact that female genital mutilation is being carried on in this country, the fact that a woman, a Muslima, stands up at a New Jersey school board meeting and yells at the top of her lungs, soon we will be the majority, should send shivers down everybody's spine. If you don't believe me, just Google what's going on in Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah.
This is a takeover. Islam is a political ideology. It is not the religion of peace, as George W. Bush was trying to tell us.
Right.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
And this is why what's happening in Europe, isn't it interesting that the Saudi Arabians have a tent city which can hold upwards of 3 million people. And by the way, that tent city is air conditioned. They can hold upwards of 3 million people. Guess how many refugees they're taking? Zero.
Mm.
And the reason for this is they're afraid that there's terrorists within that number. Well, of course there are.
Of course.
And the reports that are coming back, and of course our media doesn't really report this, it is chaotic in the UK right now. Absolutely chaos. In many of these cities and the border towns, they're starting to become pushback because the citizens are waking up and going, wait a minute. We let these people in. I don't have a culture anymore. I won't have a country anymore. You know, bully for guys like Geert Wilders in Denmark.
Yeah.
He knows of what he speaks. So this is an invasion of Europe, and it's calculated, and it's going to change the cultural fabric of that continent. And the fact that Obama administration is taking 20,000 of these people, and frankly, in my opinion, is absolutely unconscionable. Why don't the other, you know, religion of peace nations in that practice Islam, why don't they take them in? Oh, you don't see Iran opening their arms and taking the Syrian refugees in, do you?
No.
So all this is just a bunch of hooey. And the fact that our government is so, look, I mean, I'll just say it, and I know that you probably will agree with me. I believe that Barack Hussein Obama is a Muslim.
Yeah.
I don't believe he's, you know, a Christian at all.
No.
How anyone in an interview, when you're really tired, the truth comes out. And obviously, he's been campaigning all day. This is before the 2008 election. I forget who's being interviewed by, and he goes, well, my Muslim faith. And the interviewer goes, you mean your Christian faith? Oh, yeah, my Chris. I mean, can you imagine if someone asked me that question?
Right.
You know, and I would say something like that. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's just never, ever going to happen, because my Christian faith is the basis of my core beliefs. Everything mm-hmm. revolves around that.
Yeah.
But in Islam, you're allowed to lie.
Yes.
And that's part of a deal.
Yeah.
So do I believe that we have a Muslim in the White House? Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And that's why the deal with Iran, which is absolutely insane. They're giving, our government is giving the Iranians $400 million a month. Are you kidding me? $400 million a month we're giving the Iranians,
yeah.
who have openly told everyone exactly what they're going to do. They're going to nuke Tel Aviv. That's the end game. That's what they want to do. And now, of course, we've got the Ruskies, Tsar Vladimir, because he's not a communist, he's a czarist, and he wants to restore Russia to her former glory. Tsar Vladimir, with 150,000 Russian troops, are now in the Middle East, and the question is, will they retreat? And the answer to that is no. They've always wanted the warm water port. They've now got it,
yeah.
And they'll continue to get it. And now we've got the Chaicoms invested in the region. We've got nuclear submarine, aircraft carriers. The Chaicoms are there with the Ruskies. I mean, and what people don't get, and of course our media isn't talking about this, the BRICS nations are the Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. So the fact that we've got two leading members of the BRICS nations there involved together, coalescing with their forces and intel, is extremely telling. And of course, the BRICS nations want to move the United States petrodollar from being the leading currency to the Chinese yuan. If that happens, you're looking at economic chaos in this country. And oh, guess what? That's one of the chapters in the Days of Chaos, the coming financial collapse.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, I think it's pretty obvious to anyone who is awake during this day that this current administration has been infiltrated, and I think deliberately. I don't think it was done without the knowledge of our president. In fact, I think he appointed many Muslims intentionally, and I think they're directing the activities of what's going on today in a good many instances. So, you, Ella, you touched on Russia and Iran being in Syria. Now, that presents a clear and present danger to Israel immediately. Netanyahu's been trying to sound the alarm, but it's falling on deaf ears. What in the world's going on there?
Is it the beginning? Are we looking at the Ezekiel 38, 39 scenario being formed right in front of our faces? Is this mm-hmm. the nascent beginnings of prophetic fulfillment? It certainly may be. We don't know, which is why we're called to watch. And by the way, Yeshua also tells us, when you see these things begin to happen, what we talked about in the beginning with the wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, troublesome times, he says and admonishes us, when we see these things begin to happen, look up, your redemption is coming. So that's the promise. And I'm holding to that. Literally, I believe that that we're going to get taken out before we see the thing really come down. I mean, it's already coming down. Before things really get completely wacko, and what I'm talking about is the tribulation, I believe we're taken out. We're raptured out of here. I long for that day. That is our blessed hope. Why would anyone want to hang around and watch you know, the Antichrist manifest and literally all hell break loose on the planet, because that's what happens? No thanks. I don't want to be here for that. So I think that the fact that what we're looking at with the Russians and the Chinese in Syria, specifically the Russians, seems to be setting a stage for the Ezekiel 38.
Yeah.
You mentioned that Israel was surrounded by those nations that really, when you look at it, they all of them pose an existential threat to
yes.
her. including Jordan. Jordan, even though Jordan and Egypt have a peace treaty, it's a very, you know, they're walking a tightrope here, especially King Abdullah and Jordan, because he knows that the overwhelming majority of Muslims want to see Israel eradicated. And that's, look, when you ask a Muslim, are you, you know, should Israel be there? I'm going to say 9 out of 10 will say no. The Palestinians, the goal is Jerusalem.
Yeah.
The Muslim Brotherhood, the goal is Jerusalem. There's an imam called Safwat Higazi. When Egypt was in the throes of the Arab Spring, and Hosni Mubarak, who had been basically a dictator there for decades, was finally overthrown, and Morsi was running for the president, Mohamed Morsi. And Safwat Higazi is at Tahrir Square, this huge rally, and he says, and he's yelling in the microphone, reminds me of Adolf Hitler, the same type of, you know, crazed, you know, wild-eyed rhetoric. And he's saying, our capital of the United Arab States will not be Mecca or Medina. And then he pauses and he says, I say it loud, I say it clear, from the Delta, from the heart of Egypt, our capital will be Al-Quds, Jerusalem. And then he says, to Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions. And this, there's a chant, Marib, Marib, and all these Arabs, thousands of them, are chanting this thing. I mean, it's the most, one of the most chilling scenes. You know, Zikael, Zikael, Zikael. I mean, it's the same. It's the same type of ideology, and I think a strong case can be made that Nazism migrated south and east into the Middle East, and with that, of course, is a spirit of anti-Semitism, which has reared its ugly head and is now in full operation. So much so that I'll blog about this tomorrow on the Friday blog. When I first saw this clip, I couldn't believe it. There's an imam in one of the Arab states, perhaps even in Israel someplace, but over in the Middle East. And he was saying, it's time to start killing the Jews. It's time to start doing it. And he holds up this dagger. And that's exactly what we see now, are all these knife attacks in and around Jerusalem. And what was incredible is yesterday, this nutcase, or a couple of days ago, this nutcase is in a company vehicle. He sees a rabbi on the street. He runs the guy over and then hits another guy before crashing into a pole. He jumps out of the car holding a meat cleaver and begins to hack at the rabbi on the ground, goes over to the other man and starts hacking at him before a security police guy, whatever, revolver drawn, blows this guy away. Thank God. Thank God the nutcase is blown away. And, you know, that's my lead story, because that is, and, you know, you can, you know, Kara can, I'd love to debate with them. You know, Kara can tell me all day long that, oh, that's just radical Islam. Really? What's the difference? So radical Islam is the same hidden camera in the mosque, the Grand Mosque in the UK, that tells us if you leave Islam that you get killed. Radical Islam or moderate Islam is supposedly not that crazy guy running over the Jews. And yet we see Safwat Higazi telling us loud and clear from the Delta that Jerusalem will be the capital of the United Arab States. So who are we to believe here? Right. You know, what's the real deal here? And, you know, that's the bottom line. That this is a political ideology bent on world domination. And their goal is to eradicate every single Jew in Israel. That is the goal. That is the end game. And what it is a supernatural component to all this.
Yes.
Because the God of Islam and the God of Israel are not the same God.
Right.
And they, you know, this is why if George W. Bush had said what he said in the last year of his tenure as president, if he had said that during the first election, he never would have gotten elected. And what he said, it didn't matter if you prayed to Allah or Abraham or Jesus, it's all the same place. Nonsense.
Nonsense.
There's a huge difference.
Yes.
Huge, huge difference. And for George W. Bush to say that tells me that he has no idea. He may play a good game. I'd love to hear his explanation on that. Maybe he's trying to, you know, can't we all get along, the Rodney King deal? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's not the same. And what we are looking at is two different sets of supernatural events that are now at odds with each other. One, of course, is the God of Abraham and the Mosaic law. The other is Islam and the law of Sharia. And these two are completely incompatible with one another. They are. They cannot coalesce. They cannot even coexist. Like those silly bumper stickers. Can we all get along, coexist? Nonsense. No, you can't.
Right.
the planet has fought religious wars and will continue to fight religious wars. And some people can even say that the Islamization of America is going on now, but certainly in Europe. And that's at some point there's going to be pushback. And then here's the kicker. In the midst of all this, you get this 1300-year schism between the Sunni and the Shia Muslims that hate each other.
Yeah.
And if you go, and again, our media never talk. Okay. And they killed over 100 people. 100 people lost their lives or blown the bit because of these nutcases. Scores of others were wounded and maimed. Are you kidding me? How do we know who's coming into the country? Just think about the Boston bomber. If it's real and it's not a staged event, that tells you exactly what's going on, that these guys become radicalized. And the answer is, you know, or what about the shooter up in Oregon, which we still know nothing about? You know, going on 2 weeks after the fact, we know nothing about this guy. Yeah. Absolutely nothing about him. Was he a recent Muslim convert, as some websites seem to indicate? Was he a practicing Satanist, as others seem to indicate? We don't know who this guy was. And the media is not doing diddly squat, not reporting it. Oh, well, we'll just forget about that. But immediately what happens is you get the nutcase, you know, Pierce, whatever his face is, who wants, I was going to say Bronson, but that's
Morgan.
Morgan, thank you. Mm-hmm. Pierce Morgan is telling us, you know, have to round up all the guns now. You see, this is what we have to do. We have to round up all the guns in America. You Americans are just vile creatures, and all you want to do is blow each other up. Well, guess what, Pierce? Just stay in England, and, you know, when the suicide bombers come up to you and drag you through the street and sodomize you like they did in Benghazi, let me know how that works out for you, God forbid. But the bottom line is, and you know, whether Donald Trump has people looking at my blog, I don't know. Maybe great minds think alike. I'd like to think so. But I talked about this incessantly. The way to stop the shootings is really simple. It's a very simple deal. And unfortunately, we live in the time where we need to do it. And the Israelis have already opted for this solution. And the solution is this. You arm every single teacher. Mm-hmm. That has to go through a background check anyway before they can become a teacher.
Yeah.
So they go through the rigorous background check. There's a gun class that the teacher is required to take. It's an all-day gun class. They become proficient with a handgun of their choice. Every single teacher is packing. Guess what? Guess what?
Yeah.
You're not going to go to the school and start opening fire because you know you've got 25 to 50 teachers who are going to return fire, and that's going to stop the thing. The idea of rounding up the guns is what despots have done all throughout history.
True.
Hitler did it. Stalin did it. Mao did it. They did it in World War I in Turkey. They rounded up all the guns from the Armenians. Guess what followed? The Armenian genocide. And you try to tell people this, oh, well, L.A., that's just absurd. That will never happen here. This is the United States of America. You know, oh, really? You know, you really trust the government? Let me ask you something. Let's go back in history and look what happened to the American Indian. Google the Trail of Tears.
Yeah.
You know, look at Wounded Knee. I mean, you know, don't tell me this, guys. Human nature is what it is, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. I'm not buying it for a stinking second. So Obama's going, well, I may have to, you know, issue a judicial executive order to round up the guns. Good luck. And this may be the straw that finally breaks the camel back, to use one analogy, or this may actually get the sleeping giant, which is the church, back up on their feet. I
yeah.
thought for a moment that Planned Parenthood and the videos from Planned
yeah.
Parenthood would have done it. Nope. The church is still doing the typical thing. Then yeah. I thought, surely, the gay marriage thing, which is judicial fiat, set apart by 5 Supreme Court justices, creating law, which you're never supposed to do, and is judicial fiat, is against our Constitution. You would have thunk that the Christian church would have stood up and stopped everything. Boycott, march on Washington, peaceful demonstrations everywhere. Nope, not a whimper.
Nope.
No, we're still asleep, and, you know, don't bother us. We're believing in revival. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is how far down the rabbit hole we go. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't want to read a book with a title like Days of Chaos. I understand that. Or watch Watchers 9 of the same title, Days of Chaos. It scares people. And I understand why it scares people. It scares me, too, in a way. But
yeah.
that's what's going on. And we have two choices. We can barricade ourselves in our churches, close the doors, lock the doors, and pretend and sing Kumbaya and pretend everything's okay. Or the pastors can stand up, and thank God for guys like you, can stand up and start telling people and warning people of what is not only coming but is here in this country and the threat that Americans are facing.
Yes, absolutely, L.A. I, that, you know what? That would preach real well on a Sunday morning, what you just said. That'd make a great sermon. You're absolutely right, though. I think it was today I was reading an article where Al Mohler, president of Southern Seminary in Louisville, one of the flagship seminaries of the Southern Baptist Convention, was apologizing to the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that in itself was frustrating to me to read that. Mohler has always been a very conservative, stalwart, quick to point out the biblical answer to life's issues and the situations we're facing, but he has been drinking the Kool-Aid, and I saw this some I saw it some time ago with when Richard Land was still a bigwig in the convention, and I've got a Southern Baptist background, so I know some of these folks, and now Russell Moore at the Ethics Commission. They have it appears to me that they've made a conscious decision to try to present a softer, kinder, gentler version of Christianity. You can't apologize to these folks, and you shouldn't be apologizing to people that are living in blatant sin. So I just don't get that at all. So you were talking about everything that's going on in the Middle East, the Iran nuclear deal. Now, is Obama the only one that's in the end going to be supporting this?
Well, it's as Bibi Netanyahu said, and when he stood up in the UN just a few days ago, you know, and glared at his fellow delegates who were there, representatives of their country, and glared at them, and just talked about the silence is deafening. It was a moment that will go down in history, alongside FDR speech, you know, the day it will live in infamy, and of course Winston Churchill's speech, we will fight them in the hedgerows, we will fight them, you know, on the beaches, and both of those speeches were groundbreaking and very telling. And I think Netanyahu shows us what a senior statesman is made of. We're someone who has his people, basically, he wears that, that is his clothing, the welfare for his people. He clothes himself with the welfare of his people, the concern for the welfare of his people. If I can use that analogy, I mean, that's all he thinks about. He lives, breathes, and walks it. And the fact that he's just telling us he's telling the world that right now they're coming for us, but eventually they will come for you. And he knows, yes, of what he speaks. That's this right. Is why Saudi Arabia is building a huge wall to block the Iranians out. Once again, it goes back into the Sunni-Shia 1,300-year split. And see, this the problem. I talked about this earlier, the whole idea of the Sunni-Shia split. How do we know who's coming into the country? And we already know that that's what happens, and they're already here, and that's what's going to happen here. Yeah. Sunni hate the Shia, and they'll start blowing each other up. So now what? Mm-hmm. And, you know, as much as this sounds ridiculous, there's no way around this. You know, I have not heard since 9/11 one moderate voice of Islam stand up. You can't point to someone who would be called a moderate. I don't know any. Yeah. You have CARE, you know, Council on American Islamic Relations, who will cry foul continually, like the Muslim clock boy who builds a so-called suitcase bomb. A clock which looks more like a suitcase bomb and brings it to school, which is a deliberate ploy, mm-hmm, by his radical Islamic Astabik's father, yes, to do that. And isn't it funny how Obama, out of all the people, Obama, you know, why don't you come, nice clock, Mohammed, why don't you come to the White House? You know, it's like, what? I mean, this is who this guy, he always sides with these guys. Always. Yeah. And, you know, will we have elections in 2016? I have no idea. And I have some very troubling emails that come across my desk and come across some of these very, you know, very, very recently. And I'll just tell you something here.
Yeah.
This is, I'm not going to tell you what state it's from. But it's very interesting. Let me see if I can. Okay. Also very interesting. There are 96 counties in this particular state. And a very large number of the county road superintendents are Freemasons. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
I had one who I was riding in the country roads looking for a piece of equipment he needs to look at. When I stated how gorgeous the mountains were, he stated, "You will not be able to enjoy them for long. only the elite will be allowed to live here soon. I said, what do you mean, like the UN Agenda 21? He said exactly that. I asked, what about the poor folks who live on the mountain? He said, you know what happened in Germany? I said, yes. And he said that. Then looks me dead in the eye, says, the Bible predicts it. It's going to happen, and there is nothing anyone can do to stop it. So
wow.
That's a casual conversation where this person has reported that back to me. Look, I don't know what I'm looking at here. Electromagnetic pulse weapon, martial law, some event in this country which creates martial law, mm-hmm. which is what I believe Jade Helm was all about,
yeah.
was the dry run to get everybody set up for what is coming. And I realize that sounds incredibly paranoid. I don't trust this anymore.
Right.
I don't trust the system anymore. I'm a patriot. I love our Constitution. Isn't it interesting how Trump and Dr. Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina are number 1, 2, and 3 in the polls, despite what the media tries to do.
Yes.
And the candidate elect who was supposed to be elected was Jeb Bush.
Correct.
Tanking in the polls.
Yeah.
So the American people have finally seen through the ruse and don't want another Bush in the White House. Thank God.
Right.
And hopefully enough, we'll stand up and realize that Hillary Benghazi Clinton has no right to hold the highest office in Milan.
That's correct.
This is probably one of the most corrupt politicians that has ever come down the pike.
Yes.
And, you know, they'll talk a good Christian game when they have to. But these people are far from the holding to a biblical worldview, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I say that with all due respect. I don't know their hearts, but I'd be hard pressed to sit down with them in a conversation and discuss any biblical passage and have them, you know, talk intelligently about it. I would be amazed if they could actually sit down and do that. So isn't it interesting that Trump, Carson, and Fiorina are leading the GOP nomination? The people seemingly have begun to wake up, and they've seen the forest through the trees, and they realize that, you know, isn't it funny how after 9/11, W stands up, we're going to close the southern border.
Yeah.
We're going to send our boys and troops over to Afghanistan. You know, we're going to destroy the terrorists there before, you know, they come over here.
Yeah.
And it's just all a bunch of hooey.
Yeah.
It's like 14 years later, we are still in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the opium harvest was over $1 trillion. Who benefits from that?
Yeah.
Opium in Afghanistan is cheaper to buy than a gallon of milk. I mean, that's reality.
Wow. Yeah.
That's reality.
Yeah.
And, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of people are addicted to heroin. Oh, meanwhile, the last time I checked, the southern border was as porous as ever. And under the Obama administration, our guards can't do anything.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, this is the craziest time I've ever seen in America. Absolutely the craziest time I've ever seen. And, you know, it's like round up the guns. Oh, okay, round them up and do what? Give them to the former attorney general so we can have Fast and Furious so you can sell them down to the drug cartels? Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
I mean, am I making this stuff up? This is where we are.
Now, people that aren't accustomed to hearing this are, and of course, I don't know who that might be. I know my listeners have heard this repeatedly, and I've directed them to people like you, L.A., to get the latest scoop. And but there, and you alluded to this earlier, there is a mass deception of proportions we've never seen before. And, of course, we expect that in the world. We can't really say, oh, well, that's new, because it isn't. The world's been deceived and blind forever. But this mass spiritual deception that I'm talking about seems to be, to me, in the church. So many believers are just sleepwalking through their, and I call it, I have various phrases for it, L.A. Sometimes I refer to it as Disneyland Christianity. I refer to it as Yellow Brick Road Christianity. We're just skipping along, whistling a tune and enjoying this life, and we don't see anything wrong or anything going on, and we don't really want to be made aware of any of these things because it upsets our world, and then we have to stop thinking about all of our soccer matches and all of our dance recitals and all of our, you know, we want to have a life that doesn't include reality. I guess that's what I'm saying. And that frustrates me as a pastor. So many large churches, mega churches, who could be reaching a maximum amount of people in a short time, just refused to do that. They'd rather teach about, well, I'm going to, for the third time in the last 2 years, tell you how to be a better husband or a better wife. Or I'm going to give you 12 you steps go. To this or, you know, 10 right. steps to
oh
this.
My
or,
gosh,
and it's just frustrating.
Oh. Yeah, and this is one reason why we don't go to a local church. Yeah. If I go there, usually I wind up screaming and running out of the place. I can't, and I say that with all due respect, I can't sit through that anymore. I can't, you know, go and get the plastic Jesus smile at the door right. and get my bulletin,
yeah.
you know, sing the songs and
yeah.
then have the announcement, never wait on the Spirit of a Living God, yes. have about 30 seconds of prayer. And I can't do it. I just cannot, I can't do it. Yeah. And I'm sorry. I can't do it. And I miss the fellowship sometimes, but we're out on the road so much that when we go to churches, and every church that we go to, you know, first of all, they're awake, and there's always, the worship's incredible. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes people will wait on the Lord. And there's some, and a lot of times there's a lot of prayer that goes out, which is not mm-hmm. the typical 30-second deal, you know, after the announcements and men, please come forward and receive the offering. And mm-hmm. it's the same thing week after week. We are living in the most incredible time in all of history, but you know, you mentioned Israel.
Yeah.
Part of what the problem is supersessionism, the idea of replacement theology,
yes.
which is rife through the entire Christian church. And this is why the biblical prophetic narrative is not addressed in many churches, because they don't believe in Israel. They believe that the church is now Israel,
yeah.
that the church has received the promises of Israel. Well, the church is grafted in,
yes.
and Paul makes it very, very clear about that. And Israel has been now gathered back, and the supersessionists hate that because mm-hmm. it's like, well, that wasn't supposed to happen, doggone it. Well, guess what? It's happened.
Yep.
Deal with it. Mm-hmm. Of course, they won't deal with it,
right.
but they're back, and God's about to deal with Israel, the apple of his eye. And as I said on a show, and I've said this many times before, but I said on a show recently, when Jesus comes back, when Yeshua returns, he returns to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
It's not Nebraska, it's not Paris, it's not Walla Walla, Michigan.
Right.
It's Jerusalem.
Yes.
And there's a reason that he appears in Jerusalem. You know, he doesn't land in the courtyard of Dallas Theological Seminary. He doesn't land there. He lands in Jerusalem.
That's right.
And every eye will look upon him whom they have pierced, hello,
mm-hmm.
and born for him as an only son. I mean, that's prophetic, and it hasn't happened yet, and that's what we're all waiting for.
Yes.
There's another saying I've been kind of rolling off my tongue here lately, and I truly believe that unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. But, you know, we've been talking about the tenuous, tumultuous, unprecedented times in which we're living in, which directly reflect back to the prophetic words of Yeshua almost 2,000 years ago, specifically. The wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, troublesome times. One world government, the threat of a one world government, the Fukushima disaster, the false messiahs who have come in his name claiming to be him, the up and coming financial collapse, the rise of lawlessness, the ongoing fish and animal die-offs, the blood curse on Milan, which we touched on, the 1 billion abortions happening
yes.
on a global level,
yes.
the constant volcanic activity, which won't go away. Every 30 seconds to a minute, another child dies from famine. The burgeoning UFO phenomenon, the great falling away, which is what I believe is the correct interpretation of 2 Thessalonians when it talks about the apostasia, the apostasy,
yes.
the great falling away. Something is about yeah. to happen. Look, all I know is that the only way out of this mess may be up.
Yes.
The only way out of this mess, because you're not going to change this. It's not going to get better. Things are ramping up towards something.
Yes.
And this is why he tells us, when you see these things, look up, because your redemption is coming.
Yes.
My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer is Yeshua. I believe he is coming soon. I believe his return is imminent. That is my blessed hope.
Yes.
That is what I look to. I hope for. That is the solution to all this nuttiness that we're looking at now.
Yes, and I believe you take a chapter in the Days of Chaos, L.A., and talk about the blessed hope of Christ that we have as believers and that we should be sharing with folks through every means possible.
I agree. Absolutely. With every means possible. That's
yes.
exactly what we need to be doing.
Yes. Amen. Well, L.A., I appreciate you taking the time to join me today on the program. I know you just released Watchers 9, and there are you've got trailers for all those on your website, right?
Yeah, we do. Absolutely.
Yeah. So folks can go to, is it lamarzulli.net?
Correct. www.lamarzulli.net.
.net, where you can check out all of the trailers. I actually checked out the one for Watchers 9 a couple days ago. Man, that's a powerful trailer.
Richard Shaw, the director, co-producer, my business partner, he outdid himself with Watchers 9. It is just an amazing film. It's almost 2 hours long. You know, once you get the material, you know, Pastor, maybe we can do another show because there's so much that we haven't touched. Yeah. Which, once you see the DVD, I think it'll knock your socks off. Maybe we can schedule another interview.
Yeah, I think that would be wonderful. You can connect with L.A. on his website, www.lamarzulli.net. And I want to encourage you, get the book, Days of Chaos. Watchers 9 is also out. You can buy those right off of the website, and you would be helping L.A. continue the ministry, spreading the word, what's going on today. Much, much needed. L.A., thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
God bless you, my friend.
Blessings to you.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you